challenging behaviour. I've got a quote from Rita Jordan, who actually says, children with ASD may display what appears to be aggressive behaviour, but this is not really an appropriate description for what we see in individuals with ASD. I use this when I speak to schools, and it's, you know, it's interesting just to put that up and see what... what she says, actually, is more often than not, it's a reaction to events, and there'll be little awareness of their actions. That's a quote from her book, Managing and Preventing Challenging Behaviour. And the behaviours really fall into sort of two... We have the ritual behaviours, where their anxiety reaches a level where it triggers the body's sort of automatic systems, and they sort of occur under mild stress. So their perceptual difficulties mean that they have difficulty predicting the outcome of events. That leads them to sort of feel anxious and stressed. And adopting familiar behaviours, whether it's gathering all my set of books, you know, I've got all these set in the book, it'll be all right, or whether it's a little ritual routine that helps them over, it does actually reduce their stress and return them to comfort. And if I was very clever, technically, which I'm not, I would have been able to do that in a little circle. But I haven't got those skills. I'm working towards, I think. Because of what you find, particularly when the children are in a social situation, which obviously they are all the time at school, is that they sort of go round that little cycle. And they're often a good indicator of the child's level of anxiety, of how, you know, how many trains they come into school with in the morning. Oh, goodness, it's going to be... And you can tell, you know, and that's where, you know, you have to have leeway for, okay, it's obviously not a good day, so perhaps we'll have to accept, you know, three trains today, whereas on another day, it might be one train, you know. And the sort of more physically challenging behaviour is obviously that, you know, higher levels of anxiety or stress. And I won't sort of go through this in great detail, but just showing really that it is actually a physical process in the body. And with some of our children, you can actually see it. You can see them sort of, you know, they're sort of temperature rising, and then you get this sort of, because they've produced, you know, the energy, it's released in extreme actions. And then critically, often the cause of their insecurity, stress or anger is changed by their behaviour, because often they have to, you know, sorry? Yes, and often what happens is if they have been sort of had a sort of challenging incident, they may have had to come out of a room, or sometimes maybe the rest of the room may have emptied in order for them to be able to calm down. And obviously that, you know, to them has changed, and then they will calm down. Actually, and what you tend to get is really, and this is, you know, again, something that's interesting, is although their challenged behaviour begins as a physical reaction, it often becomes a learned behaviour because of our responses to it. And again, they're, you know, often unavoidable responses. You have to make the child safe. You have to, you know, you have to sort of do all those things. But in doing that, what sometimes happens is you get, you know, at the very simplest level, you know, I got upset and hit you and you took me outside the classroom to work, becomes I can ask to work outside the classroom by hitting people. Yeah. You know, yeah. And that's where you get situations where, well, he's doing it on purpose, you know, yeah. And actually he's not doing it on purpose. He's learned it. Yeah. You know, he's learned that, you know, I don't have good communication skills. I'm feeling really stressed. And last time I did that, I got to go out, you know. So,
And I want to go out.
And therefore, if I do this, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to get to go out. So it is, you know, it does become that sort of learned behaviour. And what we try and work towards is, with schools, is actually having a system where they can ask to go out with some kind of visual cue normally before, you know, it gets to that stage. Another sort of thing that we've been using with quite a lot of children in mainstream, I can't come up with a better name than behaviour sorting, but you might be able to help me out. But as we know, many pupils with ASD respond well to clear rules, and this system is really sort of sorting pictures, behaviours into acceptable and unacceptable, to clarify expectations in a format that's easier to retain. So what we've got, this is where we try to incorporate their special interest. So if they have a special interest that can be incorporated into a reward system, it's likely to produce the most positive results, because they don't tend to respond to your star sticker's house points, really, because they're an extension of social praise, aren't they, if you think about it. You have to understand social praise to understand a sticker, unless it's a sticker of Barbie and your particular special interest is Barbie, then that would be motivating. But you know, mostly, those kind of star systems don't tend to, well, you know, not across the board, but often they. So what we try and do is identify the reward at the beginning of the session. If it's a child who changes their preference, which, you know, is not unusual, it might be appropriate for them to choose from a selection to ensure that it's motivating on that day, because there's no point saying, right, you're working for so-and-so. Actually, they're not into that today, and it's something else. So you've got to check out first. I mean, it's based on sort of catch them being good kind of approach. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, well, you know, what we're trying to do here is reward the children for not doing something. You know, and how are they going to understand that they're being rewarded for not doing something? Oh, great, you didn't do that, so you can have a, you know. I just couldn't see how they were going to get their head around it. So this is where it sort of started, and it's developed. I've colour-coded it, actually, with the red and green, so the sort of stop and go, really. And so they've got the red ones are the ones we don't want them to do. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. And the green ones are the ones that we do want them to do, with the smiley and the sad face to, you know, to sort of accompany. And what they have to do is they identify their reward. So it might be computer. We try and avoid computer. If there's absolutely nothing else, then we do. But the trouble is, particularly in mainstream schools, there's one computer and 30 children, and you can't always guarantee. It's got to be something they can have. And most usefully, something that isn't available as normal classroom equipment. So in one school I work in, a lovely school I went to, and they'd asked the parents to send in a little, just again, lovely zippy wallets, you know, one about things that from home that the child could have as a little reward in school. So they've got their little, so it's nothing, you know, it's really special, because it's not Play-Doh, Lego, something they've got at school, it's something completely different. So they'd identify their reward from that, on the wrong side, from that. And then the idea is that they collect three pictures of good behaviour in order to get their reward. So, you know, great, you know, you waited for your turn, that's one, you know, only two more, and then you can have whatever it is. You know, you put your hand up before you answered a question, great, you know, that's your second one. Follow instructions, they can see that once those three are filled up, they can have their reward. And again, it's timed, and we often use either the sand timer or a kitchen timer, so there's a clear visual thing of when, you know, when it's finished and you've got to go back to work, because it's, you know, again, it's sort of, you know, one of those things that how do you stop it once you started it. If they get three on this side, depending on the school's policy, some kind of, and the age of the child, there might be, you know, some kind of sanction might apply. They might just choose to, if it's a very young child, you might just be doing the reward side and just trying to discourage these. But sometimes it is appropriate to for the children to understand there are consequences for these as well as rewards for these. And yeah, and actually another school I went to had done they had one of these in a folder for a child, but they'd actually had one up on the wall as class rules sort of thing, laminated as class rules for the whole class. And she was actually saying that, because a lot of schools have their class rules up, don't they, written. But and even infant schools have them written, and a lot of children at infant level aren't reading. But you know, having them there with the pictures, she said it made quite a, you know, difference with all the children. There's one class again, so two of these children are doing. They've both got little folders, and they identify the reward on the front of the folder, and then collect, and all their little pictures are inside, which is quite a nice idea, because then you personalise it to the child, and it's more portable. So I was observing this child. The teacher just sort of came and put it on his desk and said, you know, and he was, oh yes, you know, he was shouting. She said, look, remember, you know.